that. He is our advocate. He is our redeemer. He is the chariot of Israel. He is the one that says and it comes to pass. No man can disannul when Jesus says yes. Nobody can say no. And when he says no, who art thou to say yes? And that is why he will take the preeminence. That is why he will take the praise. He sees all the battle raging against you. He sees all the war coming against you. But he said, I am going to do something great.
Amen.
I will do something new.
Yes.
You know, when the head of the serpent, when the head of the snake, when you chop off the head, you know what happened to the rest of the body? Rigor mortis starts appearing. The snake start wiggling and dangling and moving everywhere. If a child is there, the child will tell you the snake is still alive. But already the head is off. Now, what you are seeing is just a fairy dust. Listen, the head of the Lucifer, the head of the serpent is be bruised. Can God lie? Can God lie? Listen, if he's not going to do it, he will tell you, I'm not going to do it. And there's nothing you can do about it anyway. But if he says he's going to do it, yes, he's going to do it. But somebody heard him said he is going to do it. And the person will go ahead of you to make you feel that God lies. But I tell you this morning, God never lies.
Amen.
If he tells you he's going to do something, all he wants you to exhibit is your faith.
Amen.
That's all. He wants you to stand your ground. He wants you to know that he said he's going to do it, even though I see everything coming against me. Well, he said he's going to do it.
Glory.
He said he's going to do it.
Yes.
That's all he said.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes I pray God to help me. When God speaks once, that should be enough. But because that's not what we want, that's not the answer we are desiring from God. Therefore, we kept pumping. Then they start giving us according to our heart. And at the end of the day, he gives what? Leanness. When you quell the Lord, the first answer, take it and move. What did God, first of all, told you? When you came before him to ask him, Lord, should I do this? Should I go here? What do I do? The first thing he tells you, that is enough. But you know, human that we are, that's not what we want. Listen, that's not the answer I want from God. I want something else from God. And I feel he should do it according to my will. But his will is that, no, I already told you, he's close. Oh, Lord, this person said this place, this thing is closed. It's closed. Move on. But no, you don't want to hear that. Father, no, this is not what you... Why? Oh, God, why? Then God will tell you, okay, it's not closed. And they begin to tell you, okay, it's not closed. And you are rejoicing, okay, it's not closed. But God already told you from the first time, it's closed.
Amen.
I want to show you how wicked the man's heart is. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, when we talk about a wicked heart, our mind quickly runs only to, you know, evil. But you see, when we go against God's will, that is what? Wickedness. And it is iniquity. God told you this is what I'm going to do. Accept it. Likewise, if he said, I'm going to bless you, take it. Believe it. They may come with a letter telling you, no, you're not getting the promotion. Stand your ground. Begin to claim, Father, you said you are going to bless me. Because when I came at first, you told me you are going to bless me. And that's all I'm waiting for. Believe it or not. Before you know it, you will see another letter that will come. Oh, we are sorry. We gave you the wrong letter.
Amen.
We gave you the wrong letter. Actually, even for the inconveniences, we are increasing it from $1 to $5.
Amen.
That is the God that I serve.
Amen.
That doeth wonders. You see, when man says there is no way, God says there is way.
Amen.
Just hold on. Just hold on to what he said. Faithful is he that promised. And when he promised, he never changed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And that brings me to the title of my lesson this morning. the seven ways the wicked flee. You see, we talked last two Sunday, when the Bible begins to show us that the enemy will come against us in one way, but it said in seven different ways. And that now made me to go back to God, because I was supposed to preach on my times are in your hand. But I begin to meditate. Father, what are the seven ways the wicked flee? The seven ways the wicked flee. Give me Deuteronomy 28:7. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7. My officers, my ministers, you all should be comfortable sitting over here. Isn't God awesome?
Amen.
Look at the TV. We have another one. So now they know how to stretch their neck. So give the Lord a praise.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then I'll take it and go and put it here. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be what? Smitten before thy face. And they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Somebody say seven ways.
Seven ways.
Now, let's look at that term, wicked. How do we define wicked? Wicked is defined as someone capable of harming something or someone else. We all know that. Wicked is the ability to harm someone or something. Like I said at the beginning, when we say, God, my will, not your will, guess what? We are harming God. We are not allowing God to have his totality in our being. That is wickedness. Also, the fool that says in his heart, there is no God, he denies God. So when we deny God of his right in our lives, in our being, in our spirit, that is wickedness. So don't let your mind only run to that witch and wizard and the necromancers and the sorcerers and the wizard and the demons as just being wicked. We are wicked when we deny God of his will.
Amen.
When we tell God, not your will, but my will. That is gross wickedness. The wicked could also be called evil. And when we talk about evil, we are looking at an object or something that will demoralize you. Evil. Now you think about it, when we deny God of his will, we demoralize him. We make him of no effect. So wickedness is a person morally wrong. Morally wrong. A wicked person is extremely, why less extreme? Because wickedness is to the highest extreme. A wicked man or woman is extremely unpleasant. Now think about it. When we say, God, not your will, my will, it's because we are what? Unpleasant. You know what unpleasant means? Nasty. You see, we possess that nasty attitude. We become harsh, you know, annoying. Oh, God, you said this. Why not? Why are you annoying in the first place? Why are you being harsh? Why are you being nasty to God? When already he told you what he wants. A wicked person is imitating. Do you know that people can, when you see people imitating you, listen, don't get me, to imitate is good, right? But when you see, like the way you move in the Holy Ghost, and probably you are the type that Holy Ghost brings you every Sunday and use your head and hit your head on the floor, you know, and hit your head every day on the floor. Now, a wicked person, not filled with the Holy Ghost, we also begin to act in a pseudo. Somebody say pseudo. Pseudo Holy Ghost. And they begin also to hit their head on the floor, making you feel, wow. You see, I can hit my head on the floor. Well, there's something that will make a difference. You see, the ones that the Holy Ghost hit their head on the floor, we don't have a headache. We'll not be traumatized. But you see the wicked, okay, that wants to imitate you, will be traumatized. They will have headache. They will have head injury. The wicked imitate. When they see you that you are wearing a nice purple dress, the wicked, the following Sunday, will also go and buy that same dress and wear it to church. The wicked. They want to imitate you. Is it in your job? Because your boss is always saying, oh my God, oh, that brother, he does his job excellently. Guess what? The wicked also will try to imitate you. They want to write like you write. They want to speak like you speak. They want to do everything to make sure they beat you to it. But God will say, no, because you have a wicked heart, you're not going to be like it. Listen, you want to be like it, but you're not going to be like it. The wicked. Please, if any one of us this morning, we try to imitate. Can we stop it? No, nothing wrong imitating something good.
Amen.
I said what? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong imitating something good. Why don't also imitate how to study the word of God? Why don't also imitate how to study and write messages and preach the words of the kingdom? Nothing good in imitating, trying to have the gift of discernment if it's given to you. Imitate it. We have good ones and we have bad ones. But please don't do the bad ones. The bad ones is the fact that they feel, oh, wow, you are not more than me. I am more than you. And then you try to imitate. People that imitate, they kill. When they try to imitate and they see that they're not getting the same praise like you are, guess what? Mm-hmm. They want to harm you. They want to kill you. That's why it's wickedness. A wicked person is hateful. I want you to see why God says they will come against you in one way and flee before thee in seven ways. The wicked are hateful. And they are detestable. They detest you. Like, who are you? You are not in my class. They detest you. They make you feel you are worthless. Now, brethren, having known the definition of the wicked, now, how then do we mean the scripture in Deuteronomy 28:7? He said, when the enemy shall rise up against a child of God, God promised to smite them before thy face. God promised to smite the wicked before what? Thy face. He promised to smite them. Not only that, he said they will come and fall down at your feet. He said, though they may come against you in one way, either they accuse you or they malign you or they lie against you or they plot against you or they devise evil mischief against you or they went into their coven. You know their coven, you know what's called a coven? A coven is I don't know how to explain it, but do you all know what it's called? Coven? A coven is, mm-hmm. You know, where the witches and the wizard, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Where the, have you watched Clash of the Titans? Do you watch the movie? Now, do you see those three witches that are blind? Now, if you look at that port, okay, you see the invoke, that is a coven. They gather in their coven. When they gather in their coven, then they do mischief. And God says, don't worry, when they gather in their coven to smite them, God is going to allow the mighty Floridian thunder, the mighty Floridian lightning. Now I see why Florida is the lightning capital of the world. But God is going to cause that mighty lightning thunder to strike. And when it strikes, it will destroy their coven in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That is what he promised to do. And that is what he is going to do. The wicked. You are going to see wickedness in a new form. And I promise you that after today, if there's any atom, no many. A little bit of wickedness in us, we're going to let it go. Because we don't want the 7 ways that God promised to smite the wicked to come against us. Now you want to see why. God have mercy. Why will we go against God's will and make it our will? And then 7 evil things begin to happen around us. And yet we'll be the one to start crying. Yet we'll be the one to start complaining. We begin to examine them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He told us, David said, give me the book of Psalm 23, verse 5. Let's look at what David said. David said, thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, before God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and before God will anoint thy head with oil and your cup will run over, is when you begin to detest the ways of the wicked. Because God is not going to prepare no table before you if you are the wicked. But God promised that you being the righteous, you being the child of God, he's going to prepare your table before your enemies. And not your enemies, before you. In God's creation, right from Genesis, what God decreed was that the animals should see us and will be friends. Giraffe, the snake, the leopard, the lion, they should see me, see you, and we'll be friends. And they should respect me because I'm human. Even though we know, but as Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, that man don't have the preeminence over the animal. That means you're not greater than the animals. So do not deceive yourself thinking that the animals will not come in the kingdom. I said they are coming. You will be surprised that many animals are going to rise against a lot of force in the kingdom. E.g., the chicken. The chicken is going to rise up against judgment, against most Americans that eat too much chicken. They are going to stand before God, Father, don't let them come in the kingdom. We are not saved. They don't even let us grow. Father, at just one day, they will pump us with steroid. And they will be fat. They refuse you to allow us to grow and have strong bones. Father, these people, these Americans, they are security risk. And God will consider and look and say, well, so people like us that don't eat too much chicken. God will say, come on in. Amen. Please eat your chicken, baby, because in the kingdom you're not going to eat no chicken, no meat, no beef, nothing. It's going to be right from how God created it. We feed on fruits and vegetables. So eat as much as you can right now. Amen? So before God will prepare the table, your table before the presence of your enemies, thank you. What is that she put on the board?
Eat all the chicken.
All what?
Eat all that chicken.
Did you see that? What is that talking? Is that? And the
thing has a sword.
Okay. Eat all that chicken that you can eat right now. But eat them with temperance. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if God will prepare the table before the presence of your enemies, then that means you need to live above the standard of the wicked. If you are in the same position with the wicked, instead of God preparing your table before your enemies, rather it's the enemies that will prepare a table before you. In other words, brethren, in the very presence of Haman, someone say Haman.
Haman.
Mordecai was promoted. Haman is the wicked. You all know where I'm quoting, right? Give me Esther chapter 6. Give me me chapter 6. Give me chapter 6. Find a Bible that has me. Chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep. You all know the story, so I just cut it short. You know, I don't want not to belabor the lesson, right? Now, this was when the Jews were in Israel. I mean, they were in captivity under King Ahasuerus. And now, Mordecai wants the position. He said the wicked. He wants to imitate Mordecai. And because he hates the Jews, He feels that these people, their God is just too much. Now, how do I eradicate them out of the land? And all he could do was to make a plot, dug a hole, devise evil mischief, lie against Mordecai before the king. Now, Esther, knowing what is at stake, that she's also a Jew, which means if the king there signed that decree, they all will die. But God says, no, my child, I'm going to prepare you a table before the presence of your enemies. Now, on that night, could not the king sleep? And he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles. And they were read before the king in verse 2. I'm going all the way to verse 13. So please, run fast with me. 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of what? Bigtana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keeper of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. End of verse 3. And the king said, what honor and dignity had been done to Mordecai for this? Now, this was Mordecai, you know, protected the king when men rose up against him. Haven't heard this evil report about Mordecai. Listen to how God works. Instead of the king to be wronged, rather the king went back and said, you know, what good has Mordecai done? Let me even look at if there's any good. Will God come today and see, what good have you done if the devil should bring a railing accusation against you? When the devil tried to bring a railing accusation against Job, God told him, you see, he's an upright, a just man. Now, what will God say about you if the enemy should come before God and say, ha, Father, don't mind our brother. That's the devil now. Don't mind our brother. He's this, he's that, he's wanting to die. What will God look upon and said, let me see. He will call his son Emmanuel. He said, yes, my Lord. He said, open the book of remembrance. But this same brother, he was there when Sister Soso was sick. Oh. He was there for the church when the church was in need. Oh. He's always attending the services. Oh. He's always studying my word. Oh. He shuns evil. He detests gossip. No. Will God say that about us? If the book of remembrance was open. Or if the devil comes and says, God, that sister or that brother, don't. And God will open the book, and all he could see is, when they were looking for who to kill, you were there. When they are looking for who to maim, you were there. When they were looking for who to gossip, you were the ringleader. When the church was in need, you didn't support. Mm-hmm. Well, what about church attendance? Not faithful. Okay. What about obedience? Not obedient at all. What? Think about it. Have you thought about it? Think about it. When the book is open, what will God say about you and about me? What will come in remembrance? You know, we do stuff without the fear of God in our heart. We act nonchalantly. We act unseemly. Unknown to us that there's a God that is keeping record. Amen. Unknown to us that we need to embank on enough mercy. Somebody say mercy. The reason why you need to bank on mercy, like you bank your money in your savings account, is the fact that when you need that money to go on vacation, you don't need to go get a credit card or a loan. And even if you do, like me, that likes points. You see those points? I love them. Because those points help me to get, you know, free tickets most times. So instead of me using my money to buy, I put it on my credit card. You know, and then I'll pay once, little, pay twice, little, and then I'll pay it off. So that points, I get it. And when my points keep accumulating, I'm able to travel anywhere I want to go within the United States, even across the United States, without paying from my pocket. But the reason why we bank is for the rainy day. Now, the reason why you need to bank mercy is on the raining day. Your mercy will rejoice against judgment.
Amen.
He said the mercy that Job shown rejoiced against the judgment. Because the purpose of the enemy was to take the life out of Job. God said, touch him, but don't take his life. Mercy that Job showed rejoiced against judgment. Now, what is God going to remember you for? As a confessionist? As a tale bearer? As a murmurer? As a whoremonger? What is God going to remember you for? What mercy have you embarked upon? What mercy have you shown? This thing scares me. If it doesn't scare you, it scares me. As much as it lies within me that God gave me strength, I wish I could be 100% good, but it's not going to be possible though. But I want to try. Because he that is running for the mastery, but our Paul says, will be what? Temperate in all things. In the presence of the enemies. Because you have embarked enough mercy, God is going to cause your car to run over. Somebody did they say amen?
Amen.
Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there's nothing done for him. God will say, oh, my son, you mean he was not rewarded that sister? Wow, for all the good? Give me verse 4. Then God will begin to say, and the king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman, listen, was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to what? To hang. Did you see that? To hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Now, verse 5. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. In verse 6. He said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? He thought he's the one. He said, the wicked thought, you know, they are the one. They forgot all the wicked they've perpetrated. Now it's time for reward. Now it's time for a package. The wicked will be the first to be on the scheme. You see, they want to get everything. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Now, Haman thought in his heart. You see, the wicked thought in his heart, right? Now, he thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to himself? Greed. Selfish. Mm-hmm. And in verse 7, he thought it's him. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel, did you see, the wicked, I think they're very greedy. Greedy. Now, he didn't even demand for anything. He said, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear. Thief. Arm robber. Olojukokoro. That's what my people call it. Big eye. You know, longer throat. And a horse. Did you see that? So, which means all along, they desire what you have. And that's why they killed you. You see, they also want to become mama. Mama. Because they look at it that, ooh, sure. Mm, mama. Mama. Oh, yeah. So, they desire to become mama too. Guess what? Then there's war. Because they desire to become mama. They want to walk in your shoe, but unknown to them that it is given to you, not to them. Now, they will do everything to kill you, to take you out of the way so that they can get in that position. That's good. Take it. God gave it to you. But God will also prove that I didn't call you to be a mama. Because you will suffer more than I suffered. So it's just a matter of time.
Amen.
That's exactly what Haman was thinking in his heart. He wants to be the one in control so that he can now kill Mordecai. The horse that the king rided upon and crown royal, which he set upon his head. Hey! He even won the crown royal. Give me verse 9. to be upon his own head. And let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with the whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. That means, you know, when they think that they have killed you, they take your position. So they don't want to sit and go to where you go to, you know, go everywhere. And instead of them to be, they want, you know, the same respect according to you because they desire it. So they felt when they kill you and take that position, they also are going to get that respect. But I know today that instead of that respect, they're going to fall into the ditch. Somebody said they'll fall into the ditch.
They'll fall into the ditch.
Then the king said to Haman, make haste. Make haste and take the apparel and the horse. As thou hast said, and do even two songs to who? Mordecai. So I decree this morning that every one of you, that your time of promotion is set. And Haman came to want to detest it, to want to destroy it. I decree by the authority that is in the name of Jesus. So that apparel that they desire to wear today, the king decreed that they will make haste. I decree also that they will make haste and take that same promotion and take that same power and bring it unto you and put it upon you and make it to be the head and not the tail. I said they will bring it to you. I said they will bring it to you. I said they will bring it to you. And don't be the one to come and deliver your promotion letter. Don't be the one to come and deliver your acceptance letter. In the name of Jesus. And do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. He meant it for himself. But God says, no, not for you. God just gave you a test. And maybe Mordecai was just to be honored with something. But because he's greedy, Barao, Ocean, I don't even know. Every name I can call it, they call it in my language. Thief, thief. He wants to be the one. And God says today, somebody said today. As I said today.
Today.
Say it like you mean it.
Today.
You're not saying it angrily.
Today.
No, you've not. I don't think you are tired of where you are. If you're tired of being tired of where you are, say it without passion.
Today.
Say it with command.
Today.
Say today.
Today.
Say today.
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 Is
the
day.
That the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
I will rejoice.
I'll be glad.
Today is my day.
Today is my day.
I said, today is my day.
Today is my
beyond
day.
The devil.
Beyond the devil.
Beyond his thought.
Beyond his thought.
Beyond his ways.
Beyond his ways.
Today is my day.
My package is here today.
Give
the Lord
a praise.
Hallelujah.
And in verse 11. Then took him and the apparel. He has no option. Your name has no option. And a horse, and array Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city. Hallelujah. And proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning. So shall your enemies go today and begin to mourn in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And having his head covered. So shall your enemies, they meant you to be ashamed. But I decree in the name of Jesus that your enemies will be the one that will go home and have the head covered, being shamed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because the very gallows. Give me verse 13. Give me verse 13. And Esther said, no. Esther chapter 6, verse 13. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, see, when you have a bad wife, or you have a bad husband, they cannot stand up to tell you the truth because you are their wife. Both of them will all fall into the ditch. So be careful. Do not say, because I love my husband. I know my husband, what he's doing is wrong. Or you know that what your wife is doing is wrong. But listen, And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fail before him. Now, if you read the other chapters, you see that Zeresh, his wife, was the one that was giving a bad advice. Somebody say bad advice.
Bad advice.
Oh, don't worry. Ah, no. Do like this. Do like this. When they push you, it's because you are fool. Excuse my language. If not because that individual is a fool, how can you push me? You push me. Even if you are pushing me, I should come to a point where I will say no. My eyes are open. Because when the blind is the blind, who shall fall into where? The ditch. Now, Mordecai was promoted. God prepared a table for Mordecai before Haman. Now, I want to examine the 7 ways. The next 30 minutes to 35 minutes. Now, let's examine the 7 ways the wicked will flee. One, I want to examine the 7 ways the wicked flee. I want you to be fast with me. The wicked flee when no man is pursuing them. Psalm 28, verse 1. Psalm 28 in verse 1. The wicked will flee when no man is pursuing them. That is one way. Lord, Psalm 28, verse 1. It says,
Lord,
I call to you, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. If you remain silent to me, I'll be like those going down to the pit.
Give me the next verse.
Proverbs 28, verse 1. I'm sorry for messing up your note. Just scratch it a little bit. Give me Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man is what? Pursuing them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. In other words, the wicked live with guilt based on their act of wickedness. Why would you run when you are not doing evil? It's because you know what you did was wrong. And the one hears it, right? They'll say, why? So the wicked will begin to flee when no man pursues them. Do you have friends all of a sudden? And you just watch them, you know, when they see that you are coming, they go another way. No, don't chase after them. That is God making your enemies to flee 7 ways before you. And one of them is the fact that guilt is killing them. Somebody say guilt. Yes. They become very defensive.
Wow.
Very, very defensive. They want to defend every of their actions, every of their words. They want to defend it. Oh, brother. Why? No, it's because you didn't give me time. No, it's because you didn't hear me. No. Then they want to put the blame on you. They are constantly looking over their shoulder because they know punishment is coming. The reason why they flee is because they know punishment is coming. So every time, anything, because they live with guilt. Their worst fear is the fear of death. Oh, I hope this thing. I know. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, I do my prophet no harm. I hope God is not coming to kill me. Then that becomes their greatest fear. Number 2. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. Give me Isaiah 48, verse 22. Isaiah 48, verse 20. We are looking at the 7 different ways they will flee. 1, they will flee when no one is pursuing them. 2, they will not have peace. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob. Isaiah 48, verse 22.
There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked.
There is no peace. So this is someone that don't have peace. Everywhere is trouble. As everywhere is trouble. They go and meet some friends will hate them and chase them away. They have a job, in that job they'll begin to find fault with them. Hallelujah. And in the church, nobody wants to associate with. Listen! Isaiah have peace? Isaiah 48, 22. Why shouldn't I have peace? There is no peace, said the Lord, unto the wicked. Unto the wicked. When you see a man or a woman with peace, listen, everything about them will radiate. You see the glory of God. Don't get me wrong. That does not mean sometimes we know we don't have, trouble. That's not what I mean. But when it's a constant thing, when I said when it's a constant thing, no, check that life of that person. There is a big wickedness. Why is it everywhere I go? Something is wrong. The lack of peace in one's life comes as a result of one's sinful act. Therefore, you get busy all the time because you don't want your mind to remind you of the evil you perpetrated last time. So you overwork yourself. I have seen it live. I have seen someone that works. But when I knew this person, they don't work. They are relaxed, robust, good looking. But now, they keep their mind occupied. I want to ask the person, why are you working this way? That's the only way I can keep my mind off many things. He said, I never understood it then until when God gave me this lesson this week. I said, aha! So this is why this person always occupied their mind. He said, I want my mind off so many things. So many things. Because there is no peace. So we tend to busy ourselves. Now, let me give you an example of me. When I'm stressed in those days, God has given me healing now. God has delivered. When I'm depressed in those days, what do I do? Thank you. Listen, when I'm big, you don't want to come to my house in that day. Within that period, I will bake more than 20, 30 recipes. I'll just be putting, because I want my mind off so many things. That is even when there's so much in my head. And that's the time I begin to grow fat. That's the time, So when I'm growing fat, my friends, they say, okay, what are you thinking about? What has allayed you? But to some, it's reverse. Not because I was even wicked to someone, but that's, I'm just saying within me, I'm depressed, I'm stressed. And the other way, I want to avoid talking to anybody anyhow or blasting you out. I'll start picking. That's when I remember all the flowers, everything I have in the house. That's when I remember all the recipe. And when I finish, I'll just bring it to church. They don't know. But they'll bring it to you. Hallelujah. Oh, this is nice. Oh, that's nice. I'll make all different kinds of candies. That's when I will now make reference to my cooking delight. I'll just be opening up my... God have mercy. But I'm delivered. Amen. You make sure you don't create room for interrogation. Why? The wicked, make sure they don't create room for people to interrogate them. Why? When you try to...
They're very defensive. The wicked.
Your peace is gone. And they don't feel at ease anymore. Ah! This is true. This is true! I said, this is true! The wicked. Number three. The wicked is trust. T-H-R-U-S-T. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing. Give me Proverbs 14:32. Proverbs 14:32. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. You see, they are thrust down. The wicked is what? Driven away in his wickedness. But the righteous had hope, even in his death. The wicked is driven away. God says in seven different ways they will flee. The wicked is driven away in their wickedness. Which means the moment the people knew that this person is wicked, guess what? Everybody don't want to associate with you anymore. Number four, The wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Proverbs 13, verse 5. I'm giving you all this point to know when you see and live the individual begin to possess these possessions. Listen, these are possessions. Or you begin to see them act in this manner that we're going to mention. Know that they are fleeing. That's the judgment of God. Proverbs 13, in verse 5. He said, a righteous man hated what? Lying. But a wicked man is loathsome and commit what? Shame. But the righteous hate what? Lying. Would you be among the righteous? I know that I love you, but I know you're just lying. Oh, one of my daughters said to someone, she's in Maryland. He said, I'm not the one that is blind. I think you are the one, he was telling the other, I think you are the one that is blind. Because you've forgotten that I was with you guys for a long time. I live with you all. You are lying. You need deliverance. You need deliverance from the spirit of lying. I thought by now, all the spirits should have left you. But for you to still be lying and be talking against an innocent soul, you need deliverance. And guess what? They withdrew from you for telling them the truth. Withdraw from me. It's better for my soul than because I want to keep you, I start lying. At the end of the day, I won't make it, you won't make it. No. I won't take because of you and go to hell. So the truth is the truth. And the wrong is what? The wrong. They're wicked, number 5. We sow their seed uselessly for their enemies. We eat it up. 7 different ways. And the 5th way is that the wicked will sow their seed uselessly. For their enemies will eat it up. Give me Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, verse 16 to 17. Leviticus 26, verse 16 to 17. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning hug that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall what? Eat it up. Now give me verse 17. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursue it. Why do I want to sow my seed uselessly? Why? I know that this dress in Dillard's is 1500, but I needed it. Guess what God is going to help me do? If I'm not the wicked, he will make sure that that same dress, they will take it to Burlington Coat Factory. Amen.
Amen.
It happened one time to me. When I was about graduating, I went to Dillard's with my daughter. I bought this dress for, is it 159, right? Yeah, 100, 149, no, 149, 99. I don't know what they want to do with 1 cent. Anyway, $150. And at the end of the day, I don't know, we were looking for something. That same very day, we went to Burlington Coat Factory. I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, is that the dress I just bought for $49.99? I said, what? Why didn't I think about it? Because I'm always shopping at Dillard's. I became so vexed. Then my daughter was like, but mommy, I said, are you sure it's the same cabin? And I look at it, I look at the label. It's the same thing. I said, no way, no. You know what I did? I paid for the dress that same day. Then I went to, because I don't want to go with my anger. At least I will act on seemingly. And I don't know tomorrow who will see me. I said, so she's a pastor. Did you see the way she acted? Oh my God. So I went home to make sure I calmed my anger. Then 2 days after, I took the same dress. The one I bought for $49.90, the same dress. I took it and I went there. I said, I came here, I want to return. Oh, why? I said, because I got the same dress for $49. I got the same dress for $49.99. I don't know why you put. And indeed, like, it was claimed under clearance. You see how they trick us with that word clearance? They trick us. Don't listen to woman roll over. They are not rolling nothing over. I'm telling you that in fact you are paying more, but they'll say roll over. How would you know? I wish you knew the initial price of that product. When they do roll over, go back and see that nothing is being rolled over. It's all gimmicks. Oh, do you must say, oh, I wish so. I said, no, there's no point. So she didn't ask any more questions. She just took it and refunded back my money to my card. Because why should I sow my seed in a useless earth? No. But God will allow the wicked, right? God will allow the wicked to begin to pump heavy money. But God will allow you, the righteous, to go and get it cheaper. Then you will sow your own seed in a fertile ground. Are you wearing a $150 dress? Well, so bad. I got mine from Ross for $29.99. It's the same dress. How about that? And we both are standing. Well, I'm not going to tell you I bought it from Ross. But you also would think I bought it from Nordstrom. What about that? Yes. You see, God made you pay expensively because of wickedness, but God will make me, you know, pay less. And God will not direct me to dealers when the clothes are going for $3,000. God will take me to dealers when the clothes are for $600. But when we meet at that big function and you are wearing yours, me too, I'm going to wear mine. Because I'm also wearing a $3,000 dress. Nobody's asking you questions. So you keep your mouth shut and stop telling, you know, I got it from Russ. I got it from TJ Maxx. Who is asking you questions? Did I ask you where did you get that shirt from? So why are you presenting yourself like you're making yourself cheap? Don't make yourself cheap. Amen. Number six. Well, let me finish number five. In other words, the wicked will not leave to reap the fruit of their labor. Another person will inherit their office. You see, the wicked, let them keep lying. Let them keep deceiving. Let them keep manipulating. Guess what? When God wants to elevate you, God will elevate you and bring you out and cause someone else to what? To promote you. God will bring someone else by your side. God will cause another man. Is that not David that said it in Psalm 91? He said, Father, take them away and let another man what? Take over their office. May God not let no man take our office in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Number six, the years of the wicked will be shortened. The years of the wicked will be, because God is causing them to flee from these seven ways. So the sixth way is that their years will be shortened. Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall what? Be shortened. The wicked mean to destroy your life and shorten your destiny, like Haman wanted to do to Mordecai, but God in turn will cause it to boom around. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, number seven. Thank you. Amen. Exactly. Now, at the end of the age, listen to number seven. In all this, at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous. Give me Matthew 13:49. Matthew 13 in verse 49. At the end of the age, this punishment is still not enough. God is still going to cause the angels to come and take out the wicked from among the righteous. Matthew 13:49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and what? And severe. Somebody say severe.
Severe.
I can hear you.
Severe.
Meaning separate. Set aside. The wicked from among the just. Meaning the wicked are never a kingdom candidates. They will be disqualified here on the earth and even in the heavens. They will be disqualified. Give me Proverbs 24, verse 22. Proverbs 24, in verse 22. Because God says, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Their calamity of the wicked will rise suddenly. Things will just be falling suddenly. God will cause them that trouble you to be troubled. Amen. Pharaoh thought he's been smart and wicked, but he before the God, he thought he's been smart and wicked, you know, by over-laboring the Jews and doubled their soul. That's why I love the song, I'm turning my soul into joy. I'm trading my pain for fame. I'm trading my sickness for health. But when the days of the Lord's judgment came, Egypt flee before the Jew 10 times. God says your enemy will flee before you 7 times. But with the Jews, God caused their enemies to flee before them 10 times. The 10 plagues. What are these 10 plagues? You know what I'm quoting? Exodus chapter 7 all the way to Exodus chapter 12. Read that on your own. That means Exodus chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now, that will give you a full gist of the summary I'm about to give you. Egypt came against Israel one way, but God caused Egypt to flee against Israel 10 ways. One of the ways, God sent frogs. Two, God sent lies, L-I-C-E. Three, one, God turned their water into blood. Testing, can you drink blood? Well, except you're a vampire. Two, frogs. Three, lies. Four, flies. Imagine, just one fly in the restaurant, I'm going nuts. I hate flies, I hate roach. So those two, don't bring it close to me. I will not sleep if I know there's a fly in the house. Of course, the children, they also know, God, shut my door! The fly coming. Flies and cockroaches? I will chase it to the core. To where, when they were to change the blind of my window, you know, I used to have those soft ones. But because I will set trap for the flies, I will open it, you know, I will turn off all the lights. Can you imagine how crazy I am? I will turn off all the lights. And then, you know, the flies now will be looking for where there's light. So they will go in there. So once they get in there, then I will gently close the blind and I will do, I still do it. And then the fly will die. Then I will use the paper towel and clean it. I hate flies. Now, because of that, the blind that I had before, you know, torn, for species. So when they were to change the blind of my house, one of the sisters said, don't give her that soft one. You come back in 1 month because she wants to kill them flies. That you will never recognize that blind. So they gave me the hard one. So even if I kill the fly, well, the blinds don't break. But I still do it. Amen. And my husband has jumpsuit too, because I watch him also trying to set trap for the flies. And then he also, I just laugh in my spirit. See, they've joined me. Now if it's wickedness, he has joined me. Amen. Yeah. I don't like flies. That's just me. So imagine when there is flies in Egypt. Number 5, livestock disease. All the animals had disease, they began to die. Number 6, hey, unbearable boil. Just ordinary pimples, you are not comfortable. Now think about when boil is all over your body. Number 7, God caused it to rain fire and hail. Fire and hail. Number 8, God sent them locusts. Number 9, God covered the whole land with darkness. And lastly, God allowed every firstborn of Egypt to die. They came against Israel in one way, with over laboring and sorrow. But God came against them 10 ways. That is Israel, the Jew. What about you? God says they will come against you one way, but it will cause them to flee 7 ways. Let your enemies flee 7 ways, and not you fleeing 7 ways.
Amen.
I said, let your enemies flee 7 ways, and let God prepare your table before them, and not you fleeing before your enemies 7 ways, and God preparing the tables for your enemy. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
7 ways that the wicked flee. If there be anyone, any symptoms of this wickedness in us, let us rise up as we pray.